And today's Tailwind Tip of the Trail is brought to you by
Jimmy Dean Freeman. Jimmy?
When running a race in excessively hot conditions, I recommend having a cloth bandana to tie around your neck. In this bandana, at checkpoints that you meet your crew, you can throw a handful of ice and wrap it around your neck. And where you are at non-crew accessible aid stations or at creek crossings, you can simply take the bandana off, drop it in some cold water, put it back around your neck. It will help with evaporative cooling and keeping your core temperature lower, so you have to sweat less, losing less fluid and electrolytes, and able to perform closer to your peak.
Now, Jimmy, I've done that, and one of the things I think the added value besides core is it just gives you something else to think about. You look forward to it for a little while, you get it on you, and then you get to enjoy it for a little while, and then once it gets melted, you think that was pretty nice for a little while.
There's a lot of things to think about in, 1,500-mile races, and one more thing that can help you perform is another important addition. I think so many people overlook heat management strategies when they race in hot conditions, especially if they don't train in areas that are hot.
You know, one of the things I like to do too, Jimmy, is take that same bandana when you take it off your neck at an aid station or a creek and dump it in there and wash your face off. Get all that salt and grime and dirt off your face. It just makes you feel fresh.
There's something to be said for those little refresher moments. Another thing that surprised me, which is a bonus tip in this Tailwind Nutrition Tip of the Day.
This is our first bonus tip. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The tip within the tip is in a race that lasts 20, 24 plus hours, brush your teeth.
Ooh.
The effervescent peppermint toothpaste will cause you to feel so much more rejuvenated in the middle of the night.
Well, there you go. Another Tailwind Tip of the Trail brought to you by Tailwind Nutrition and our Southern California
affiliate,
Jimmy Dean Freeman.
Drink
Mas. Welcome to the Petzl. Well, how do we do it, Scott?
This is the Petzl Nighttime Running Strategy, and we have Sally McCray, Coach Sally McCray, with us. Sally, what is your nighttime running strategy?
My nighttime running strategy is first get in the gym, get big muscles, so that you can beat the crap out of anybody that you
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, well, that's a good strategy. Do you have anything else?
No, I really do. I really do. It is that you have to actually go and do it. I mean, I don't have a big strategy except for the fact that I used to be deathly afraid of running at night. And the only way that I was able to overcome the fear was to actually go out and do it. And I had to evaluate what it was I was afraid of and why I was afraid. I mean, I really believe that people were waiting in the bushes to get me at every at every corner. And then you come to realize, like, hey, how rare is that? How rare is it that somebody is waiting for me as I run by at night? It's not going to happen. Also, as a woman, and since I do run alone, if I'm running at night, I only run on the roads and on busy areas of the roads. I do not run on trails at night. I love running on trails at night, and I have to be with people if I do that. But the key to overcoming that fear is just you have to get out and do it and love it. And still build a big muscle, though.
It's a lot of fun being out there at night because for some reason, you just can't keep track of time. And,
you don't have the sundial.
You're not watching the sun. You're not looking at things that are familiar to you, as far as placement because it's nighttime. Things kind of look the same, and you just kind of cruise out there. I love, too, running at night. But you have to do it with a decent light.
You do.
You do. And a full moon run, oh goodness, those are my favorite. Because they don't even need a headlamp. Not that I'm saying that as a coach, you do need to bring a headlamp, but there are certain areas where if you can run without a headlamp, it's glorious.
It's kind of fun to you always take a headlamp because of safety. We talked about safety, but you know, on those full moon nights when the moon is right up at the peak, mm-hmm. it's fun to turn it off and just be careful and run for a little bit. It's kind of free.
Be one at the trails, take off your shoes and socks.
I get naked.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't.
And that's why I'm glad it's dark out.
And that's why I run alone.
And I don't. That's when you don't need a decent light.
And that's who you're afraid of when you don't go run alone, right? The naked guy.
So your suspicions
People
were right.
No, what mountains is that?
So your suspicions were right, Sally. There are people out there without any clothes on that are a little bit weird. It's Scott.
No, I have come across weird people. I've come across animals. I think that's the thing is everything that we're afraid of, it's real. I mean, sometimes for me, it's been like, I need to encounter those things and then really see either what it is that I'm made of or why is it that I'm afraid of that. So I've encountered the animals and the freaks and, you know, it kind of makes you a little bit more courageous because it really isn't that bad.
And you know you can outrun them.
And you know you can outrun them.
You know, have you been out there on the trails in a group, right? And then you come to a point and you say, okay, everybody turn off your headlamps and just look around. I mean, that is a precious moment. And you can't get that at home, you know, sitting there with a bowl of ice cream watching some television show. But getting out there with the group and just shutting down those headlights and looking up at
the stars are brighter at night.
It's beautiful. And then listening to the river that's flowing off to the side and maybe listen to something, you know, an animal somewhere, you know, a coyote down in your neck of the woods. And it's just nighttime running is right time running.
Oh, that is good.
Wow, go ahead and brand that one.
Wow.
That'll open up on the website.
If we had a Pinterest account, I'd pin that.
Is that what you'd say, pin it?
I would do that.
So grab yourself a Petzl headlamp, maybe a Now, that headlamp. Have you seen that headlamp, Sally, the Now?
N-A-O.
It adjusts automatically based on your...
Where you're looking.
Your terrain. Right.
Really?
So if it's a big canopy and there's very little light, it adjusts for you. So
or when you go down and you look at your GPS watch, you look down at it adjusts the light so it's not so bright. It's very cool.
You actually plug this light in to your computer and you can program it to your requirements or your needs.
I was looking at that and there's different there's actually a program for trail running,
mm-hmm.
so you can change it for trail running, so that like if you're looking down at the trail right in front of you, it adjusts the light so it's not so bright and mm-hmm. and maybe
Ooh.
Maybe a little more spread out
mm-hmm.
pattern, and if you look up, it sends a lighter beam of light. It's actually a pretty cool light, and it's rechargeable, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's easy to snap out of the back, just a compact rechargeable that plugs right into like a USB type
yep.
of port that we have in our
everywhere.
And
now, does it distinguish when there's maybe an attacker ahead, so that laser beams come out and.
Now you're dreaming. But you can take it off your head and hit the attacker with the back of the battery. I'm sure that would do something.
Very good. So go grab a Petzl Now.
Go get. Oh,
how was that, Scott? That's like
go grab a Petzl Now and run. Moss.
Thanks, Sally McCray.
Are we recording?
I'm not nervous. I got this. Let's just do it.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Were you expecting a professional podcast?
Edit this crap out. You better edit that crap out.
Ashley, you know he's not going to edit a damn thing.
He better edit a darn thing.
You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Recording.
And action.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott War.
I'm Faith Goss.
I'm Steve Gangemi.
The Sock Doc is with us today.
Sock Doc.
Wait, hey. you forgot your name, Steve. That's what you go by, Sock Doc. So we're here as we gather on a regular basis to talk about all things running and all things nutrition and all things health-related as it pertains to us as athletes.
Oh yeah,
that's right. Thanks, Scott. Well, we're kind of
why does Faith sound like she's in another room?
Well, let me tell you a little something. And Steve, this is all
she's
news
got,
to
like,
you.
She's got like a glow behind her. She's in front of this bright window with like a blue glow.
She's in the witness protection program.
Let's give a little bit of the setup. So, you know, normally we try to do what we can to get together, and we're on Skype here and using that to bring in Dr. Gan Jimmy from all the way across the United States. He's on the East Coast and we're on the West Coast. And Faith, who happens to be done with school, has her degree, all the stuff that, you know, we've been working
not
through.
Not working yet, right, Faith?
Not yet, no. Aww.
So you're basically doing nothing.
That's pretty rough.
That's been amazing.
Besides training.
Right. So I get this text, you know, we're very excited to have her live with us and Sock Doc at the same time. And so I get this text from Faith that says, hey, sorry about this news I'm about to spring on you, but I'm not going to be able to make it in with you live today. I'm going to have to Skype in like the Sock Doc. And I thought,
to put things in perspective, it's not like she lives in another town.
No, she is across town.
She lives probably about a mile from my house.
She puts in 10 times that amount, that distance, just training in the morning. So it's not like a distance issue. So I said, well, what could the matter be, Faith? And she says something to the effect that, what was it, Faith, that you had a spray-on tan issue for an event coming up? Spray-on tan issue? Really?
Is it an accident or an issue?
An issue.
Let's think what could happen. I mean, she's first off, what is the event? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, what is the event?
Work is tough, and she's tanning up for something. What's going on,
Faith?
It's a gala.
It's a charity gala.
Charity gala. All right. What would that be? What is a charity gala?
I'm not sure. It's going to be my first time going.
Hmm.
And that requires a spray-on tan?
Well, I had a Groupon that was going to expire, so I figured why the hell not.
With all your training, aren't you tan already?
Well, that's the issue, is that I have tan lines that go every which direction.
Oh.
And I look ridiculous.
So that's the tan line issue. You're trying to get rid of some training tans.
Yeah, so then I got a spray tan and requires me to join the nudist colony for the day.
You can't wear clothes for a day?
You can't wear like anything. Like I sent Dawn a picture. I'm basically wearing a giant shirt. You can't wear anything that's like restricting.
And you're making fun of my gaming headset.
before the podcast started, since we had some video going, because we tried to make it as live as possible, Faith was giving Dr. Gan Jimmy a little bit of a hard time about a gamer headset that he had on. So let's dig a little.
I'm a minimalist.
I'm naturally tan. I'm Sicilian. I'm naturally tan. I don't need to go to spray on. I see the spray now. Look at your orange.
No, I'm not.
It's orange. And there's a tan line over your left shoulder.
So, Faith, here's what I want to know. Why is it that you have to only wear just a large T-shirt to
lines if you have any, like pants on or heart rate monitors on? It'll create a line.
No, it creates a line after you spray it on?
Yeah.
Do you normally walk around with heart rate monitors on during the day? To do a podcast, do you normally wear your heart rate monitor?
I do, because I don't want to get at my threshold, and I'll get there quickly with you guys.
I am just... sitting here bewildered, what does the normal person do when they get a spray tan?
You know,
they take a vacation from work and stay home and lounge around naked?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I thought about that. I said, really, you need to take an entire day off to do this effectively? I don't understand. So, lo and behold, here we are. I am probably 3 miles away from the studio and slightly orange and rather sticky. And this is the way it's going to be.
Well, you know, I try to negotiate with her to bring her in. I talked to her about putting boxes up around her, the mic on the other side. We even have
she could wear a box.
A box in a box.
she could be behind a curtain. We could have created a curtain room for her, but with no luck.
So, Mike, here's the other big question. Are you pleased with the result of the tan?
I think so. I told Dawn, I kind of messed it up, and I wore a dress today that had some elastic in it, and so I have a little bit of a line, but to be determined, once I shower, supposedly it's going to settle better.
So I want to know a little bit more about this gala charity event. What exactly requires a super tan? What do you have to do? And
like
do you get
I
to
said,
bid on?
I
do we bid
Groupon.
On you? Do we bid on you? Is that what the
it's all about the Groupon? She'll do anything that has a Groupon.
I'm cheap. I don't want my Groupon to go to waste. So that's really. But you know what? We talked about briefly the heart rate monitor during the day. This may not be the exact podcast topic that we were going for, but this is Sock Talk, so we can talk about anything.
Well, exactly, because we always stay on topic here. Would you use a Groupon if they had one for, say, a heroin?
If other people were doing it, sure.
Well, I don't think we're done with it.
There's a lot of people that are doing
Where
heroin.
Where is the Groupon line? Is there a line for Groupon?
We're not done with the tanning. We're not done with tanning topic yet. You notice how she tried to switch topic to heart rate monitor?
Yeah, because the Nation members would be more interested to hear about my metabolic efficiency testing.
I doubt it.
Did you do the metabolic efficiency testing, Faith?
I did. I spent about over 2 hours with a sports nutritionist in El Dorado Hills, which is a suburb of Sacramento. And I was
on up there.
They do. Yes, us foothill folk have Groupons. I spent about 2.5 hours with her. I did metabolic testing on my bike. However, either way, it can kind of be equated to running. It's not an exact science, obviously, since I did it on my bike, and I'm going to translate it to running. But I was able to establish my various heart rate zones. I determined my VO2 max. I determined my threshold heart rate. And
what was your lactate threshold?
I think it was like 178.
Wow, that's pretty good.
You know what, though? It was 4 days after my my half Ironman, so I still had a lot of junk in my legs. So to be determined. Yeah, and I'm on the wrong bike, but that's another topic.
Tri-geek talk. Using excuses on the bike already. Typical tri-geek. You've learned well over this past year, Faith. Learned well.
Yeah.
Blame the bike. Rule number one.
Nice catch, Sock Doc.
Yeah. So anyways, it was really cool. And she also was able to tell me like how many calories an hour I use on the bike and how much fat versus carbohydrates I burn per hour and at different heart rate zones. So
how many calories?
At heart rate zone 2 for me, which is I believe 127 to 140. I don't have it right in front of me, but, that I burn about 540 calories an hour. So I need about 108 calories an hour on my bike. So, I mean, which was really awesome because I can use Tailwind and not have to eat. Like, which, you know how I know that's Tailwind's kind of promo line is like all you need all day, that's it. I didn't believe it, right? So I kept eating gels during my half Ironman and got like deathly, deathly ill. Like, I've never been so sick in my life. Anyways, so it's really cool because now I can do 2 scoops of Tailwind and that entire bottle can technically last me 2 hours.
So you can trust the nutrition plan.
Yeah, I can. Now I have like scientific evidence to prove it.
Have you ever done that, Sock Doc? Have you ever put yourself onto the into the lab and found out where your numbers
lie? I was a lab rat from my early days in college when I would always volunteer for certain studies and get free, VO2 testing, LT testing, body fat testing, all that sort of stuff. So I've done several of them.
Hmm. Have you watched it change over your training intensities or you know, during the years? Have you watched it change?
Your lactate threshold really won't change too much, but your capacity at your lactate threshold is what you can really change. In other words, how long you can sustain that level towards the lactate threshold. And plus, obviously, if you build your aerobic base rather efficiently, then you can clear lactate a lot faster and stay in the fat burning zone at a higher speed for a longer duration rather than get up closer to LT levels and burn out quicker if you're in a longer sort of race.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see. I think we talked about this with Sunny Blendage, pushing out your threshold and like pushing out your crossover point where your CO2 and your O2 meet, which is a definition like the VO2 max, right? Like you can train your body to push out that threshold, even though you're saying it doesn't change. She was telling me through through like better nutrition, like off the bike or, you know, outside of training, that you can kind of train your body to like train on less and push out that threshold.
Right.
So I don't know. It's all very confusing, to be honest with you.
And make sure you get 108 calories an hour, not 100.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, how do I go 108? Do I round up to 110? Do I go to 100? Do I go to 200?
I think you round by fives on that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm having trouble. Maybe I'm just a little bit thick here. If she says you're burning 500-some-odd calories an hour, you only need 108. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of questioning. She had like a formula. I think she multiplied it by like 0.25 or something like that. Because obviously, think about it.
That's because you're at zone two. You're at zone two on that. That's why.
Is that really why?
Yeah, because zone two, you're mostly fat burning there, so you don't need to.
Oh, you don't need as many glycogen store. Yeah, glycogen.
So you're burning. If you're right, if you're burning 500 calories at zone four, then you're probably going to want to replace, 400 of those calories.
Right. Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, yeah, it was just really interesting. So I don't know, I guess that's it.
So what do you plan on getting out of this, Faith? I mean, are you going to do some metabolic efficiency training and try to lower that threshold and then go back and get tested?
I hope there's another Groupon.
I'm definitely going to do follow-up testing. What I really learned from it is that I don't really need to load up like a lot, like on the bike or in the runs. And by doing so, like by taking all those gels and taking all that extra crap in addition to Tailwind, not only am I slowing my gut down, but I'm just giving my body like more fuel for the fire being lactic acid. Like I just don't need it. It's all excess. It's, you know how we talked about racing weight. It's all just, you just don't need it. And so training your body to utilize what you give it more efficiently, that's what I really hope to get out of it. So no, I don't anticipate going out on runs and starving myself and bonking like Scott War coming up from No Hands Bridge a couple months ago. No, ooh. I don't anticipate doing that.
Ouch. Ah, man. Well, we're not done
talking. That was uncalled for.
Yeah, hey, I wasn't
that
the
was
one,
a foul.
I was not the one making fun of you in the t-shirt. That was Don.
How long did the half Ironman take?
I had food poisoning during it.
Oh, listen, the excuses already. No.
Try geek. Yeah. Just give a number and don't say and don't use the words and change.
Okay. I did it in 6 hours and change.
And? It was windy and the sun was out and the tires weren't fresh on our bike.
I want you guys to know, not ladies.
Yeah,
this is exactly the reason why I left triathlon. Faith has turned. She has turned. I would like to replace her if you don't mind.
Well, no,
I will get an orange tan and I would like to replace her. That's how far I'll go.
We're accepting.
Yeah, I will spray on for every podcast. as long as it's a Groupon.
I had the slowest half marathon of my life. Like I fell apart on the run. And it was really embarrassing.
That was 3 hours and change?
What's that?
That was 3 hours and change?
No, I ran a 220 half marathon, which is incredibly slow for me. Like, incredibly slow. So I pretty much walked, like, a large majority of the run because it was just horrific. I was in so much pain. On the bike? Yeah, what's that?
You ate too many gels on the bike?
Yeah, exactly. Like, seriously?
How many gels did you eat on the bike?
Over 56 miles, I think I had, like four gels plus Tailwind plus like half a bonk brake bar. Cause I'm just so scared to bonk. Like, cause I've been there.
Did
you
bring a lunchbox?
No, my head tube is just really large.
Head tube. I'm a trail runner. What's a head tube?
Yeah. What's a head tube?
Oh, geez, Google it. Head tube.
I'm afraid what will come up. Head tube. I'll give it a go. I'll put my filter on.
Anyways. Yeah, and I really did have food poisoning. Like, I had to report it to the health department. Like, everybody at our hotel got sick. Like, all these athletes, like, Monday morning, like, we all went down to breakfast and were just – it was – actually, I didn't get out of bed, but my parents went down and they said all the athletes were down there, like, complaining about how sick they got.
My goodness. That's a weak tribe, that tri group. They all stay in bed and have people cater to them.
Sounds like they stay in questionable hotels, too.
Yeah. They spend all their money on their bikes.
They spend all the all their money on their head tubes.
Yeah. Deja vu big time here.
Yeah. So it was a great race. I'm gonna sign up for a full next year. So I'm really excited about that.
We need an intervention. How are we gonna keep Faith on the trail?
I foresaw all this. You guys know this.
Yeah, you predicted it. You did.
I predicted it.
I'm going to roll back a few podcasts and I'm going to re-listen to that prediction because I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
Faith, what's so appealing about the tri group? I mean, is it the spandex? What is it? The head tube?
No, honestly, it's like, it's so painful. That's why I like it. Like it's very, very painful.
Well, you don't find as much pain as you want in the trail? On the trail?
I guess not. I don't think I'm pushing myself hard enough on the trail.
You need to come out with us sometime. We'll show you some pain out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I like how painful it is, and it just takes me. It doesn't take me to the sad mental places just yet, but the pain in my legs is like nothing I've ever experienced before, and I enjoy that.
I've got a doctor for you to talk to, okay? Because there's the issue is somewhere else. It might be between your ears.
Where's Ashley Walsh when we need her?
She's in Georgia running through the woods, she says. Hey, Scott, you had something?
No, it was banter.
We were talking banter's better than content sometimes. Hey, Sock Doc, you have a weekly tip on your website. And, of course, as Scott always does, he links Sock Doc's website.
I want to hear you say it. What is this website, Don?
I have it on as marked as my homepage, so I don't even know anymore the call letters. You know, I just sockdoc.com. If you go
this is our eighth podcast. Did you know that?
Is this our eighth one?
Yeah.
Nice. So anyway, I go there and there's some great tips, and one of them that kind of relates to what Faith is talking about, sugars and meals and eating and stuff. Here's your, I'll remind you of your weekly tip, Sock Doc, and then you can take it from there and elaborate.
And I must admit, it's really not weekly anymore. It's been a while.
This
I still like to call it that.
This semi-regular tip.
That's what I'm going to change the name to.
Semi-regular.
Whenever I feel like it, tip.
Nearly weekly. My nearly weekly tip.
How about our YouTube?
Or I could do like Faith and write weekly and change tip.
Yeah, there you go.
We started a video tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
And we did one.
Yeah. The 23rd week of the month, of the year. The 23rd week of the year. At any rate, it says, if you're craving sugar after you eat a meal, it's a sure sign that your body is inefficient at burning fat for energy and is relying on glucose for fuel. A healthy and efficient athlete runs primarily off fat, not sugar.
So if you want a big old piece of cheesecake after dinner, or a big dessert, big chocolate cake.
Yeah.
So elaborate a bit on that, Sock Doc, if you would, or maybe you said it all in that quote.
I
What's
said a
the
lot
science
of it,
behind it?
What's the science behind it? Is if your body is basically, if you have that dopamine craving for activating the insulin receptors in your body and they're not getting them after a meal, then they sort of, you have that that craving after you eat. Your body's asking itself, basically, where is the sugar? And I'm not happy with the fat. So
then how do you like tell yourself not to do it? Like, cause sometimes I am victim to this. Like definitely in the past, like I've had a really sweet tooth lately. I don't know why. And I'm like, I'm wondering if it has something to do with being so active, going through heavy training, but I've lost that sugar craving. But in the past I'm like after dinner, it's like, I got to grab something, like where's dessert. And I'm just wondering like, how do you train your body to not want that? Do you just have to be mentally strong and say like, I need to have better willpower or what?
No, because I mean, you know, I always say it's okay to eat sugar, but you really shouldn't, it's not healthy to crave it. You know, I mean, I've come home from treating patients all day exhausted. And the first thing I want to eat is chocolate. I mean, you've been that way, right, Don?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I realize I don't have a Groupon for chocolate, so I don't have any chocolate in the house. So I have to, you know, eat something like meat.
You are out of luck.
I know. It's terrible. Things I do. But yeah, I mean, there's basically two ways to break the cycle. And one of them is by sort of just sticking it out and cutting most carbohydrates, maybe except for some fruit, out of your diet for at least a couple weeks. And then the other way is to reduce your stress levels, anything that's going to raise cortisol levels or adrenaline and adrenaline levels, which is going to cause you to utilize more glucose for fuel or burn up stored glycogen levels. Are you putting your hand up like you're in class and you have a question?
Yes. I do. I have a question.
Just wait. I'm still talking.
I know. I'm just letting you know.
She was letting Scott and I know that this is the protocol.
This is protocol.
If she raises her hand,
protocol?
Yeah. We have to stay quiet. We don't do that to her.
Can I raise my hand if I have a question?
You can, but she won't acknowledge it.
And we don't have a video of you.
Oh, you can't see me. I only can see Faith, and she only can see me.
No, I can't even see you.
No,
I can
turn your video
myself.
Back on, Sock Doc. We just see you without any clothes on, holding a coconut
on a beach.
Oh, video is on. I can see me. You can't see me?
No.
Oh, I've been on video the whole time. I can see Faith, and I'm looking at myself moving.
Huh. Well, I don't see you, but I do say that there is no spray on tan on you, Sock Doc. That is legit.
I don't see, here.
Let me turn that video on. There we are.
I don't. Oh, there you are.
Are you going to edit this out?
I'm not editing anything.
Yeah, because I lost my train of thought now. I do. Now I remember it. Okay. Can I ask it now since?
Yeah.
No, I have to finish. So, finish.
So
the other way is if you're burning fat aerobically, like if you're not training so hard, then then you're not going to crave sugar because you're not burning up all the glucose.
Okay. Interesting. That makes sense.
Quizzical. You have the quizzical look.
No, I get it. But
I wouldn't know that if we weren't on video. I wouldn't see the quiz.
I have a question. Faith
had her hand up, so you have to wait.
You have to raise your hand.
Sorry.
Okay, so have you guys chime in on this? After you've completed like a long race, so Western States or a 50 or whatever it be.
I've done Ironman.
Nice, yeah.
Okay.
Back before you reformed and became a trail runner and got rid of the tri-world.
I smartened up.
Yes.
So I go through this like phase after a big long event, but I didn't go through it after this long event that I just did, where I get like depressed and I just like gorge. Like I just want to eat. Mm-hmm. Is that related to like cortisol levels like coming down and like my glycogen stores that were used up in the event?
Yeah, I would say absolutely.
I know there's tons of listeners out there that get it. Everybody feels me. Everyone gets depressed after an event.
No, I don't. I've never gotten depressed after an event.
Scott, Don, help me out here.
I tell you, I felt a lot of relief after this, build up for the race, and the race was done. I pushed hard to try to, build up to it.
I got to tell you, excuse me.
Yeah. Did you raise your, Steve, did you raise your hand?
If I raise my right hand, it means I have a question. If I raise my left hand, it means I have something to say.
Okay. All right.
That shouldn't happen. I mean, that's like, that's like the athlete pushing themselves to exhaustion and thinking that's normal. Mm. It's so far from normal.
Mm.
You know? I mean, you know what that reminds me of is the whole stuff going around over the past couple of weeks about women peeing themselves during CrossFit workouts.
What?
Seriously.
What?
It's been all over the internet. See, I'm changing the topic.
I have managed to miss that, but it is so true.
You do? Yeah.
Everybody pees a little bit with double unders. Come on.
Oh, and they use that specifically. That's bullshit. Can I say what can I say online?
You could say anything you want.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, you could say that.
Say the F word. and that's what they're all using, like swings and double unders, that it's normal to like pee themselves, and this whole thing with women like having to wear pads because they're embarrassed to go to CrossFit workouts and those things. Ooh. Yeah, seriously.
Ain't no shame in peeing a little bit, but pads, that's shameful.
Yeah, but that's not normal. I mean, like, that shouldn't happen. I mean, that's not like some cool thing if that's happening to women, which it is. And it's like, supposedly it's like a huge problem in CrossFit, all these women saying that's normal when it's a huge pelvic floor instability problem.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I'm
feeling a little uncomfortable.
What's a little leakage between friends? Hey, how about Kegels? Maybe you ladies should be doing more Kegels and less double unders.
Yeah, I agree. I think I prescribe Kegels all the time.
Kegels or Kegels?
I mean, I remember being like in high school wrestling and football workouts, and it was sort of normal to throw up after. So, I mean, going going to exhaustion in a race to the point you're like depressed after. I mean, that's like, that's really screwed up if you're actually pushing yourself to those limits.
I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's smart. I know it's a physiological response, and it's not normal. And I just, I know that there's other runners out there that experience it.
That's a wave. That's not a question.
You know, are we done with the peeing? I have a question.
Oh, you want to go on the peeing topic?
No, I want to get back to what he said about carbohydrates and fruits.
Let's do it. Redirection.
I want to stay back on your topic, but not the peeing topic. I want to talk about wanting to gorge yourself and eat a lot after a long, long race. Because I haven't done it because I'm depressed. I've done it because I'm hungry. And I think that what happened during those 10 or 12 or however many plus hours you're out there, you've burned a lot of calories. And your body's just saying, fill me back up in case you have this crazy idea to do this again. And so I think I'm just filling myself back
up. You actually have the craving to eat?
Oh, I just love like the week after. Yeah. And it's just like you can eat.
What about that like right after, like the first few hours?
I don't even remember those hours.
Because I can't eat anything.
For me, I get it the next day. I'd eat big time the next day after a big race.
So fun. Yeah, everything looks good. Everything tastes better. It's like free eating because, I don't know, I don't think you're worried about gaining a couple pounds after you've burned, you know, thousands of calories.
If you've lost 14 like you did the last race.
Hey, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, so, you know, the thing about Scott, I have the same thing. Like immediately after an event, like you put food in front of me and I'm like nauseated.
It just
doesn't even appeal to me. So what that's about is your blood and your stomach. I mean, we know this, easy science. The blood in your stomach has been shunted away to go to your essential organs, but to your muscles, you know, you've been working so hard with the event. So when you put food in front of you, not only are you probably gonna have an upset stomach if you eat right away because the blood's just not there, but mentally, that's not where your mind is focused, is on your stomach.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna argue with
tomato
that.
Tomato soup always tastes good to me.
Salty,
tomato soup and a cheese sandwich. Okay, can we get back to my question now? Can I participate?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Back to you mentioned, you know, you say to limit the amount of carbs, and there are certain fruits. I've heard that forever. What are some of the fruits that you cannot, or that you should not eat, that are considered bad carb fruits?
Mm-hmm.
Fruits that you should
eat. I can answer that.
During a race?
No. Just in your normal everyday diet. What fruits are bad?
Faith has her hand up. Go.
Yeah. So if you can get online a glycemic index chart, and you can keep track of like different fruits, like ratings. Like bananas are super high in the glycemic index. Mm. Sweet potatoes are really high on the glycemic index as well. Good fruits are like berries, like strawberries, blueberries, anything in that family. Apples are kind of middle of the ground. I'm just talking like the generic fruit that's like really accessible at our grocery stores. So if you're trying to, you know, keep your insulin levels steady and not spike your insulin levels,
right. You
want to stay away from stuff like bananas go more towards the berry genre.
Might I suggest that you eat a half a banana? I've got to think bananas are good for us.
Mm-hmm. I think glycemic index is BS.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know,
I love controversy.
I'm with the sock doc on that one.
Glycemic index is a joke.
So give us your input.
Haha. Why? Because the glycemic index is based off how quickly you metabolize sugar. And then you take fructose, which is only metabolized by your liver. You metabolize it super slow. So you're going to get these super high fructose foods that are low in the glycemic index, even though they're not healthy for you. So, and then that's one issue with it. So you're going to get a lot of, say, what's a high fructose, you know, certain fruits. Like, I do agree with Faith that there are certain high fruits that aren't, or high fructose fruits that are low on the glycemic index and aren't good for you, like bananas. But bananas are different because they also change based off when they ripen. A mm-hmm. green banana mm-hmm. that just turned yellow is super starchy. You get one that's going brown, it's super high in fructose.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference there. But the other thing is you can change the glycemic index of any food, especially a fruit, just by adding some fat, protein, or fiber in with it. So, you know, if you think a banana, a high fructose banana is bad for you, well, throw some whipped cream on it or some heavy cream, and now you just significantly lower the glycemic index of the banana. So glycemic index is a huge, huge mistake for people to follow, at least outside of their own food groups. I mean, if you want to follow it a little bit within the own food groups, like fruit, that's cool. But I mean, a lot of sodas have lower glycemic indexes than sweet potatoes or even some vegetables because, you know, of their higher fructose than glucose content.
Mm-hmm. I would
so
say
that's the problem.
For every
the glycemic index was followed by primarily diabetics who are, as you know, are some of the unhealthiest people and unhealthiest diets, and endocrinologists giving the glycemic index for diabetics' diets are some of the most misinformed physicians I've ever spoken to. They just don't have a clue about how to regulate blood sugar levels, and they think they're doing it by the glycemic index, and it's crazy.
Well, I think where the key is matching carbs and protein, because if you add, and you alluded to this, but in simple terms, if you have a high glycemic index food and you add protein to it, it's going to bring the insulin levels down. It's not going to spike it as high as if you were just to do it alone.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw out an example for us not very smart people that are in sales and not in the medical industry like you three. We need examples. So I've actually been following a very low carbohydrate diet for the last many months, and it's made me feel great. But one of my favorite things is to have apples with peanut butter. Slice up an apple, put some peanut butter on the slices, and that's a meal for me. So here's an apple that, according to Faith, is a middle-of-the-road glycemic index. But now I'm adding some protein and some fat with it, with the peanut butter. Is that good?
With or without the stem, the apple?
Without.
Okay. All right.
And chunky peanut butter,
got
by
it.
The way.
All right. Okay.
So creamy Macintosh or a
Fuji. Fuji. Large Fuji and Skippy Super Chunk.
All right.
Creamy peanut butter is for tri geeks.
Are you really eating Skippy peanut butter?
Oh, you just buried yourself, Scott.
Did
I? Sorry,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Should I go be getting the
there
fresh?
Did you really just say that?
He did.
It's not even just peanuts and salt. It's like hydrogenated oils and cottonseed oil.
So correct me. Let me rewind. Can we edit this?
No.
I'm going to go back.
It's on the
let's
record.
Say I went to the grocery store and there's a grocery store around here that I can grind my own peanuts into peanut butter. So let's say I did. It's natural peanut butter. How's that?
You have a Groupon. Okay.
A Groupon.
I had a Groupon.
You need to wrestle the local elephant,
do you think our international people know what Groupon is? They're going, what in the heck is a Groupon? So answer my question,
Faith,
somebody.
Are you texting?
No.
No texting and Skyping, Faith.
I'm not texting.
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead, Scott.
I want your answer, Sock Duck. Can I eat an apple with some natural peanut butter?
If you feel good after eating that as a snack, yeah, sure. I think that's fine. I wouldn't maybe do it every day. I don't think it's the best. I think you could do better, but it's okay. Sure.
So is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
It's spelled tomato or tomato.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
This podcast is going nowhere.
It's going everywhere. No. I mean, we're addressing specific questions. Yours, mine, Faith's, Sock Doc's. Okay,
so what? Let's say instead of an apple with some peanut butter, what's a better choice
for a quick snack?
Yeah, like a midday snack.
Well, honestly, I'm a strong believer that if you ate enough food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you don't need to snack.
So you're not a grazer. You're a meal eater. You're not a grazer through the day.
Well, let me tell you, I used to be a triathlete, and then I saw the light. And triathletes graze all day long, and I used to eat all day long. But then what I realized, this is the biggest thing I changed actually in my own practice over the past couple of years, is that I used to recommend everybody eat throughout the day. And what you realize with people who graze is they all have blood sugar problems. Mm-hmm. They all have habitually high they will never correct their blood sugar instability problems. I see the hand, Faith. It's coming. And and you know, they basically never correct their problems. They always have to eat more and more carbohydrates throughout the day to basically stabilize their blood sugar. And if they don't eat after, you know, a few hours, then they either have low energy or brain fog, or they're they get depressed or they get edgy. And if you eat enough protein and fat for breakfast, and, you know, even if you have a little bit of carbohydrates like fruit with it, you should be able to go a long time without eating, meaning like 4, 5, 6 hours easy, and you don't need to graze. I'm not saying you should never eat a snack, but if you have enough for breakfast to get you, you should be able to eat enough for breakfast to get you through to lunch, and you should not feel the need to have a snack in between breakfast and lunch and dinner.
Faith,
I can tell you.
Good. I like that. Faith, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Nope. So I've, what's that?
No, go ahead.
I've been having these weird episodes where I wake up about 2-3 in the morning. What are you shaking your head? I don't pee in my bed, okay? We're not going there.
I just think
she's doing double under.
This is after we've talked about her with her spray tan and her peeing during CrossFit.
You know what?
And now she has.
She's more forthcoming when she's on Skype and not in person.
I would say she's turning red, but she's actually turning because
Stop
of the
it.
Orange.
She's orange. Yeah.
She's turning fluorescent.
She didn't show up because her spray tan turned her orange.
Go ahead, Faith. I'm listening.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. So I've been having these issues at like 2-3 in the morning. I wake up incredibly nauseous and like I have to eat like right now.
Maybe you're pregnant.
Because your blood sugar is basically being pulled heavily from your liver to try and balance your blood sugar at night.
So what?
That's what's happening. You're getting a cortisol rush. And what's happening is your body is breaking down proteins into amino acids and further into glucose to try and balance your blood sugar. And that spike in cortisol is happening is causing your liver to work harder, and that's what's waking you up.
So what
and
do
it
I
always
do?
Happens between 1 and 3 in the morning. It means you need to eat more during the day and not train as hard because you're burning up too much glucose.
Really? Because like it.
That's the most common time someone will wake up is between 1 and 3, and it has to do with the acupuncture meridian system. Is that your liver acupuncture, what's called your orary point, is the most active between 1 and 3 in the morning. Every organ has about a 2-hour window, and 1 to 3 is liver, and that's why if you ask anybody the most common time they'll wake up, it's always between 1 and 3.
That's give or take. So interesting. So just
I'm all about interesting. I really am.
I mean, like it, and I noticed it happens. It happens like it was happening a lot leading up to my race when I was training really hard. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that you're eating more throughout the day.
Yeah, it's because you were training hard. Now, remember, if you're training hard, you need to replace the carbs. I mean, I'm all for carbohydrates if you're training hard. But if you get to the point where you're just training hard all the time and not recovering, well, then you're starting to, you know, the whole sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul. You just can't keep on eating carbs to try and replace the glucose levels, because you only can replace them so much, then, or the glycogen. And, you know, you eventually get into the overtraining state where your body's not recovering well. So you're basically not balancing that whole equation, which we've all talked about and we all know. So yeah, you're trying to recover at night, and instead of being anabolic and recovering, you're catabolic and you're breaking down primarily proteins and muscle and tissue.
That's scary.
You're screwed. It's a big deal.
Screwed.
You're screwed.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, we actually talked about some of the content of the show, forwarded a few interesting links. Of course, we don't really talk about them. They're just there to give us like a safety net.
Usually we talk about them like in the last 5 minutes.
After we turn off the recording device. Hey, but one of the articles that we had found was in PubMed, and it's titled Ultra Marathon Runners, Nature or Nurture? And it's from a journal article out of Switzerland. And we'll link that. But I'm not going to go through all these details and this little abstract and numbers and this and that. Here's what I want to talk about. Nature, nurture stuff. As I look around and tell me, you know, I'm not going to ask you guys to support me on it, because we've seen when ask for support, we throw each other under the bus. So if you find this at all interesting, please contribute to this thought. And if not, we'll move on to the next one. Nature, nurture. And you look around and I see people that, well, when we show up to the race, there's definitely some folks with genetics that are just, you know, their lungs, their heart, their legs, and they just go out there and they have the ability to run faster, probably with the same effort or maybe even less effort than we're running, and they just do amazing things. I always admire anybody in front of me, and I admire anybody behind me as just the toughest people and the people in front just as fast people, and I think that's a good perspective. Now, my point. I think it's kind of cool to look around and you go to the store, the gas station, post office, you name it,
And you look at people that have maybe never, ever explored the potential of their body. They may have, you know, just a gut on them, and they may have, haven't run since high school when they were made to run around the track, yet inside of them, they have this genetic machine that many of us wish we had. And so I always think it's interesting to think about what's stored inside of people or what they harbor inside of them, their abilities, what potential they have, but maybe they don't even know. And so I think that's kind of interesting. You guys still awake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going a completely different
direction. Where did you think I was going?
Well, I thought you were going to go the direction that you and I talked earlier this morning about. With
I wasn't ready for that.
And that
that's
is,
deep.
You know, we are naturally designed to do this, to go out and to push our bodies and to challenge our bodies and to survive.
We are not built for being
that's nature.
Cubicle to live in cubes.
Or sit on the couch and eat TV dinners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's interesting too.
I mean, the Sock Doc, that's like what he's all about. That's the idea behind MoveNet. That's the idea behind, well, theoretically behind CrossFit.
Is yeah, but that people are peeing themselves over there.
That's not natural.
That's not natural.
That's not good. Not even for a Groupon.
So yeah, that's the idea, is utilizing your body to its full potential. And yeah, even though we may not all look like, you know, the sculpted body or of an ultra runner or whatever. I mean, the ultra runners aren't sculpted. You look at the start line, you see a lot of diversity, and you never know what's caged up inside these people. And it's so impressive to see, you glance to your right and you see someone that's like fit, that looks like they run the marathon or they're super fast. And then you look to your left and there's some guy that's probably about 10, 15 pounds overweight, but he's out there and he likely is beating me.
I've had plenty of those people pass me and I can't catch them. And you would never have guessed them more as a spectator than a runner, but they're just inside of them and in between their ears and in their lungs and heart and just desire. Yeah, there are some serious athletes. You can carry a few extra pounds. It'd be easier if you didn't have them, but you can't judge a book, Faith, by its cover.
I agree. 100%. 100%. So what other points did you want to hit on in that article, Mr. Dr. Don Freeman?
Well, I didn't have a whole lot. I was just hoping that the wisdom of the panel here of the group would carry part of that. So I didn't have a bunch. I just thought it's pretty awesome to look at out there in the world and know that there's a lot of athletes hidden, wrapped up inside of their bodies.
I think one of the things that we haven't focused on enough, we did that one podcast with the British gal talking about training your mental fortitude. Do you remember that one? She was British. She was
German.
Was she German?
German, yeah.
Yeah. So talking about not only like going to the trail and training your body physically, training your lungs and your heart and your muscles, but training yourself mentally, not only time on the trail, but time off the trail. And I think that we don't pay enough attention to that in our training. Like, it's always about, you know, what's prescribed for today, four miles at a, you know, 7 to 8 minute mile pace or whatever it may be. But what about after that workout's done? Like, what kind of mental work can you do at home to show up prepared for race day? Or maybe not even racing, just like the mental battles that you encompass, you discover in training, you know, those mental roadblocks, like, I just don't want to go out for what's even on my training schedule. So how can you prepare yourself after that time on the trail for the mental stuff that you're going to encounter?
I've got a Sock Doc. Did you want to add something to that? Because I didn't see your hand up because you're still holding your coconut.
No, I did put my hand up.
Oh, then go.
I would love to add on, Face. That's a very good point. I think a lot of people mistakenly only train for something, or let me say it this way, exercise for something when they have a goal, in other words, like a race. I heard a guy say recently that he wasn't training until next week because that's when his 12-week marathon training program started. And it's like, what's that all about? You know, you can't start now. You have to start only when your official training program starts. And I see that too often where nobody, there's too many people out there who only want to train for the race. Then the race is over. Maybe it burnt them out, or it was too time consuming for them to train for the race, and they don't exercise anymore until maybe they train for the next race. So they go through these super highs and lows of training and no training, rather than, I hate to sound corny and cliche, what are you doing?
There's somebody looking
at the video. There's someone out your window. Oh,
there's a 6-year-old out there looking through our window. I was trying to make some funny faces at him.
but I think with, not to sound cliche, but I think people need to be training more for life and exercising, you know, more, you know, all the time. You know, I get it. We don't have time to exercise every day, unfortunately, because we have so many other responsibilities. But, you know, it shouldn't just be something where, okay, I'm training for this race and I'm not going to, you know, really be as dedicated at any other time. And yeah, you gotta train specifically for a race, especially if you're doing an ultra, or really train to set a new PR, even in a shorter race. You know, you've got to prepare more for that, and you've got to you know, be a little bit more scientific about it. But that doesn't mean you just sort of throw it all out when you're not training for something, or take training too seriously. You know, every workout should have a purpose to some degree, and you should be always moving as much as you possibly can, whether you have a goal or not. Your goal should a lot of times just be to always be fit and get yourself healthier.
Okay, I have along that thought about seasons and about permission not to always be hitting that PR. If you're always out there trying to race and hit that number,
yeah.
Do you give yourself permission to just have a solid race and not hit that mark? I think to always push yourself to the point of personal best achievement, that's pretty demanding on you, and it's hard to last as long and be as fresh always. So I think for people that put a bib on, we need at times to give ourselves permission not to be tearing the race up every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean think about how many races are available to you today. I mean, you guys have a lot more ultras than us out here, you know, on the East Coast. I know if I go about 6 hours west to like Tennessee and Chattanooga in the North Carolina mountains, there's an ultra there, I'm pretty sure, like every weekend. And out where I am in Chapel Hill, I mean, you can easily find a 5K, 10K, half Ironman on Saturday and Sunday, you know, somewhere. It's so easy to race every weekend somewhere. And eventually, you know, if you're training hard and trying to push yourself hard in every race, obviously when you get towards the bigger races, and if you're trying to do an ultra, you know, once a month, like some people like to do, your body only can take so much of that, and you're going to get sick. You're going to break down. You're going to get injured. Eventually it will catch up to you sooner or later, and nobody's exempt from that.
You know, I just, somebody sent us an email, I think, or something on Facebook not too long ago, that wanted us to interview this lady, and I can't remember her name right now, that this was probably a few weeks back. To date, this year, she's finished 36 ultras.
That's crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I thought that, and I thought, man, maybe she'd be a good interview, because that can't be healthy. And then there's the opposite side, that there are many trail runners and ultra runners out there that don't even have the desire to participate in races. All they want to do is go out there on the weekdays and on the weekends and go out there and enjoy nature and get out there and get their heart beaten and be with friends.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think there's it takes some discipline, and I think you have to give yourself that permission just to go out there and have what you would call an average day, and, you know, I don't know what percentage, but some percentage below what you would expect yourself to do. It's just okay to do that.
I think it depends on how many races you're doing.
Well, we talk about A and B races.
If you have two or three races a year, you can go out and push yourself and go for those PRs. Mm-hmm. If you're doing two or three a month, then I think you're right. You need to give your permission to maybe not do a PR or go all out at a race.
It's a completely different race just to go out there and enjoy it and not worry about it, spend a little more time at the aid station and be just completely have fun doing it. Worried about everything.
Here's a question for you. Do you see that there's people that are doing 100-mile races that are just out there enjoying themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. There's parts they don't like it, but at the
entire way?
What?
Do you think someone can, you know, go out and do 100 and just go out there and toodaloo and enjoy a 100-mile race.
No, I mean, there's going to be some suffering through there, but that in the end, that's what they signed up for,
right,
too. They wanted to find that space, like Faith talks about, the dark you know, points. That's what they're part of the tuition, the entry fee. What do you think about that stuff, Dr. Gan Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, just like Scott said, I mean, if you're doing a lot of races, you've got to chill out on one. I think that the issue is that a lot of more high end racers, you know, in other words, the good ones, it's hard for them to go out and not do well in a race. And yeah, they might say, you know, this is my training run. Triathletes love to say that, by the way, Faith. They love to say they're just training a race. Yeah. They're really not. They're racing it. But when they suck out, they want to just say that they just did a training run.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just a little pointer there, Faith. But you know, I mean, can you do like a 50K or a 50-mile or even a marathon easy? I mean, if you go easier, well, then you're out there longer. Okay, that's not as high intensity. Is it high intensity shorter? Is it longer and slower? I mean, it's still going to do some wear and tear in your body. And I mean, I personally, I've never met someone who does a long race and has really taken it easy the whole race. I mean, they might push themselves at various places throughout the race. And, you know, if you're out there for 5 hours and you ran hard for an hour, hour and a half, or 2 hours rather than your whole time, I mean, it still will take its toll for you. So, I mean, it can be done if you're truly going to have fun with it. But like I was saying earlier, I mean, if a lot of these high-end racers, they're not going to enter a race and then, you know, if it's going to take them 3 hours, they're not going to want to come in at 4 hours, 4.5 hours, because mm-hmm. it sort of ruins the reputation. They'd rather just not even show, you know?
That's
my experience.
What about some people that are using aliases to sign up, you mm-hmm. know, because there's a lot of reporting these days. Yeah. You know, there's for us Ultra Sign Up, and your name is listed, and you have a ranking based on how you do. I have heard tell of some people with some racing aliases out there. Would you ever do that, Scott War?
No,
no.
I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove. How about you,
Got? Many races in my day.
How about you, Gaith Foss?
Yeah, no one would ever guess that.
That was unintentional. That was 100% unintentional.
When she signed up, I didn't know about this. What happened?
I think
I ran a Woodside a few months ago. I was just doing it as a training run.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And I was
all
totally
downhill from here.
Yeah, so somehow I got registered as Gaith Foss or something like that, and I got called out by the guy that enters times onto Ultra Sign Up. And he's like, you wouldn't happen to be the person that registered for Woodside as Gaith Foss, would you? And I was like, what?
You won your age group in that, though, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't want to. You might want to always run under that name.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. But
do you have a tri name?
Yeah, do you have like a handle out there? Do they like hikers? They have, you know, special names.
No, not yet. But I'll let the sock doc come up with one for me.
And I would love to. I would be honored.
Faith pees a little.
I can work on this one. Faith tri name.
So is that an official thing, sock doc, to have a tri name, a handle?
No, I think that's a trail runner thing.
Those are through hiker things. Those are guys that do the Pacific Coast Trail. They have their Pacific Crest Trail. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Faith, what is your trail name?
What's
my
that?
Trail name?
Yeah.
I don't know, Don. What's my trail name?
Oh, I'll come up with it. I'll give me.
I'm gonna call you. Since you're orange, I'm gonna call you Tang.
Tang.
Very
rough
good.
Rough on the outside, smooth on the inside.
Just like the astronauts.
Okay.
Yeah. You can delete that.
No, we're deleting nothing. Hey, Sock Doc tip.
Have you guys ever edited a single podcast, by the way?
No.
Shut up.
By the sounds of it, that's all we do. Here's a Sock Doc tip. Are you ready, Sock Doc? You can expand on this, or you can leave it just as it is. If you have knee pain when you go upstairs or climb hills, then consider more glutes or calf involvement. If it's worse going downstairs or hills, then think more quads or IT band.
Yeah, right on. Would you like me to expand?
If you'd like to expand on any of that, you can. I just want to say there's just a ton of information at Sock Doc's website that Scott Thank War you. Will
we'll link from our website.
And after you say it properly.
Well, it may
there's
be a while.
Never getting linked.
I like it how every time Don emails me, I have a new name. It's either like Sock, S-O-C, Dr. Sock, Socks. I think he has like this list and he checks off to make sure he doesn't use the same one. Like,
did you, funny. Did you like the way
I catch them all. I catch them all.
You saw Sock Doc with D-O-C-K as Doc?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Oh, good, good.
I like Socks. Hey, Socks.
I say it like respectfully.
Like a cat. You know, I have corrected, help people fix their knee problems as often treating their calf muscles as I have maybe even more their quadriceps. And in terms of, if you took hamstrings, quads, calves, and let's say glutes as major areas of your lower leg, okay? So glutes, hamstrings, calves in the back, and your quads in the front. I know you got other muscles in your lower leg, which I am well aware of. But I would say I see a lot of hamstring problems causing knee problems, but the problem of the hamstring is actually in the calf or the glute max. In other words,
totally.
There's way more glute max and calf problems causing hamstring imbalances resulting in knee problems than true hamstring problems.
Yeah, you know what?
Yes, Faith.
No, okay. I didn't raise my hand. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a foul. No raise of the hand.
I've interrupted you plenty, Faith. So it's okay. But anyway, So don't now. I'm you can't interrupt again. I'm still.
I'll just mute her. I'll just mute her. Mm-hmm. Sock Doc.
How do I? Can I have Faith's microphone mute next time, please? We do this.
Yes, we'll surrender control.
That would be so cool. if you feel like you're lacking power going up, you know, like your little push up, because really a lot of people forget or maybe never knew that running is really a powerful push motion rather than is actually pulling forward with your hamstring. You should be using your glutes. You should be using your calves, and that's why I like telling people or having them use like a razor scooter, which our good friend Mark Cucuzella talks about, because it teaches you how to properly place your foot and push back with your glute max rather than try and pull your leg with your heel obviously out in front of you to try and generate some power with your hamstring. Very ineffective if you're using your glutes and your calves to propel you forward. You're going to be much more successful, and a lot of people are going to have way more calf problems, gastroc, soleus, and obviously into that tendon, our good old Achilles tendon, issues causing foot, ankle, and knee instability, resulting in knee pain. Whether it's you feel like it's under your patella tendon, your kneecap, whether it's behind your knee or even on top of your knee, more often than not, it's a glute max imbalance or a calf imbalance, and you'll find trigger points in there. Which are these tender spots you can rub out to help relief. So a little lesson on knee pain here. If you have problems with the knee, look for points from your Achilles up through the belly of your calf in the middle of your lower leg, and especially in your glute max where it wraps around to the side and joins some of your IT band, which is about a third to a halfway down the back of your leg in your femur. And you're going to think you're in your hamstring there because it's sort of the connective tissue is tied in with your hamstring, but it's really your glute max. I always like to tell people your ass is a lot bigger than what you think it is because it doesn't end where the crease is. It ends further down your femur. So, and a lot of people think it's their hamstring, it's their glute max. So it's well overlooked and well underrated.
So when a lady asks you if this makes her butt look big, you have a hard time really answering that because you have more anatomical knowledge there.
Exactly.
Of course it does because it goes well into your hamstring. Now there's a lot of great clips. Maybe you link it to YouTube or I'm not sure, but on your website you show how to assess some of these areas and to look for those trigger points and to do some deep tissue work. You've laid a lot of that out, and it's found on your website too. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah.
You are correct, I think.
So, and you can learn, and this is what I believe I've said this on some of our very first podcasts, you can learn as much from those clips than you would learn by going to your general practitioner because they're going to tell you to rest, take some ibuprofen, use some ice, but you get right into it and get some good treatment protocols, and a lot of it can be self-administered. So good stuff there. Scott Warr is busily taking notes now, writing down things to link to the next podcast. I mean, link to the podcast site.
Faith had a question.
Did she? I did
not have a question.
I thought you interrupted Sock Doc and you never got to say your question.
I just wanted
to interrupt him.
You know, it's so it's just a silhouette of Faith.
Faith and I have become like brother and sister in a way. Like she just wants to irk me, and I feel like irking her back.
She has this window behind her with sun coming in, and all we can see is her silhouette because
I'm evangelical.
She's hiding like a witness protection program that Scott brought out earlier because she's orange in nature and has to hide herself and lack of clothing. She is in this state.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sock Doc.
It's over already?
Faith just called it. She just called it. She's like the umpire and it's raining out on the ball field. She just called the game here.
I'm tired of being made fun of.
Oh. Sock Doc.
I mean, come on. If you spray on a tan, you're going to get made fun of. Let's just be honest here.
Well, you should have seen my tan lines. It was a lot worse.
So here's a question for you, Sock Doc. Are spray tans healthy?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it healthy to be orange? There.
Yeah, really, seriously, what are in those ingredients?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Chemicals are in there.
And does it move through the skin? And has there been enough study behind it?
If you can't eat it, it shouldn't be on your skin, right?
So you should taste your spray on tan first?
Of course. It's tropical. She's coconut flavored.
What flavor is my spray tan?
Deep cherry.
So, Faith, you know, we never really asked this before the show, even during, but I can't let it go. Why is it that you need this spray tan? What exactly are you doing?
Because of her tan lines.
Well, I know that.
Her tan lines.
But the other, you know,
many people go and show off the tan lines.
Yeah, Faith. Right. Why are you showing your tan lines? What are you doing exactly?
Are you wearing what kind of a dress?
Are you in some kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I have a tube, like a strapless dress.
So you can't have the...
They're still going to be there. They're just not going to be as prominent. And I've been getting these... Oh, man, this could get really bad. I've been getting these sunburns where I, like, blister. And I'm putting on sunscreen. The sun is, like, at a whole new level these days. So I have like, my skin is peeling. I have bad tan lines. I'm a mess.
Yeah, clearly.
And now you're orange.
Aren't you a nurse?
Uh-huh.
Aren't you a nurse? Faith.
Doctors, nurses are their worst patients. They never heed their own advice.
Mm. So you don't tell all your patients to go get a spray on tan?
No.
Well, Faith, I'm sure that no one looks better in orange than you.
We expect to get a photo. Message to us so that we can post it so people can see you in
no.
your dress and your spray on tan.
Okay.
I'm sure that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, Nation members, thanks for joining. One of the most popular podcasts on trail running in the entire world.
That is true.
What did we even talk about?
I don't know. I took some notes, but I have no idea where they led.
Anna Hughes was the mental.
Yeah, Anna Hughes was the mental podcast we did. I'll link that. I'm also going to link the metabolic efficiency training podcast that we had.
That was a good one.
So you can, if you don't know what metabolic efficiency training, you can go back and listen to that and find out what advantages there are there. I know what I got out of this podcast is I shouldn't eat apples and Skippy peanut butter.
Right.
At least as a meal, maybe as a snack. Of course, now I'm not even going to have snacks. And I'm going to go get an MET. I think I'm going to find out where Faith went and did her...
Groupon?
Groupon. No, not for spray tan. Mm. For the metabolic efficiency panel or whatever you call it.
You can also go back into the archives, in the Trail Runner Nation archives, and pull out apparently 7 other podcasts with Sock Doc. So this is number 8. And time flies, Sock Doc. We sure have enjoyed you being a member of Trail Runner Nation and of the content creators here.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've learned a lot and had a lot of fun doing it, too. We plan on having you back.
I learned if you can get a Groupon for something, it's probably not worth it.
Oh, I'm never gonna live this down.
You should have come in. You should have come to the studio.
Have you ever seen a Groupon for something really worthwhile? I mean, there's not a Groupon for Whole Foods. There's not a Groupon for, you know, a really good race. I mean,
that's
a Groupon
true.
Is when they're true. You're right. I mean,
if it's worthwhile, people will pay for it. They don't need a coupon. Hey,
there's no Groupon on the SockDoc site. Let's just say that right straight on.
Okay? There you go. Hey, you know, I think as a public service message, we should talk a little bit about the Kegel. And that would be appropriate for you, Faith, to talk about, because this leakage that ladies may have with running and doing double unders or whatever, I think
not
that's
not good, Faith.
Yeah. So
it's not natural.
What is a Kegel? Okay. What is a Kegel? And how do you perform them? And then collectively, we'll all do a Kegel at the close of the show.
Kegels are exercises to help strengthen your pelvic floor muscles. So how to perform a Kegel is pretend. Well, you can do it while you're peeing. Try to stop peeing midstream. That is a Kegel.
Unless you're doing a double under.
It's hard to do two things at once.
Is this just for women?
No.
No, guys
can do it too.
Kegels, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so you just you just act like you're peeing in your mind and lock it up.
So some mind peeing,
I don't think I'll ever do CrossFit. That just is wrong.
You can do them at stoplights. You can do them anywhere. Very good. Well, Trail Runner Nation members, go to trailrunnernation.com. Go to We Are Nation on our Twitter and join us on Facebook.
Go to sock-doc.com.
See, you can't put dashes and dashes next to each other. That's tough. Sock
dashes
doc.
And dashes.
Somebody
and,
already took sock doc.
They
and
did.
We'll link a Kegel exercise website, right, Scott?
Very good.
I am not linking Kegels. Maybe Kankles. I'll link pictures of Kankles, not Kegels.
Hey, Scott.
What?
Go out and run.
Moss?